Night. Well, shalom. Are you at peace? Okay, let me get my stuff together here. All right. I want to start off before I pray. Studying these scriptures, looking at a lot of scriptures. The more I look at the word, the more I know how little I know. So I humble myself. I just want to I am no more valuable than you. Am I still too loud? I just seem so loud. I am no more valuable than you. I am no more important than you. I have gifts, but God gives all of us gifts. So in God's eyes, everyone is valuable. So that's one thing I want to say tonight. And I'm learning, but when you look at these words in God's word, you see that there's so much more. And just infinite in God's wisdom. It just goes on and on. And you can look at one scripture. Pastor has told us this before. And I could give you one scripture, and Jim might get this out of it, and Deborah might get this out of it, and Carol will get something else, but it would all be the same thing pointing up to God. So I just wanted to say that little bit, that I humble myself because I'm just a vessel, and I want to be used, but I have flaws. And so here I am before you tonight. Lord, just use me. So let's pray. And if you would, please stretch your hands toward me because I have been pretty nervous about this lesson. Father, thank you for this opportunity. And thank you for everyone that is here tonight and anyone watching. And I just pray that you speak through me and help Patty be quiet and let God speak. You speak, Father. Holy Spirit, take over right now in the name of Jesus. And I just thank you for all that you do. And Satan, I bind you off of everything I say. You will not have your way tonight in the name of Jesus. God will be glorified and Jesus uplifted, and Holy Spirit has the way, has the leading. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. So my title was The Spirit of the Prophetic, but I changed it with Ish's help because I wasn't sure about it. So I'm going to tell you just a few things. I'm going to start here. In the beginning, and you, most of you know this, in the beginning God created. He said, let there be light, and so it was. Everything that was created was done so by God's spoken word. We are his sheep and are to follow his ways. He has told us in Proverbs 18:21 that we have the power of life and death in our tongue. And I wanted to elaborate on this a little bit because you know that these words are true, power of life and death, because everybody in here probably has had some words spoken to them before that just crushed them. Oh, I crushed mine. That was not a good example. Okay, they've been crushed. You've been crushed before. I have. We all have, I believe. But also, you have had times when people will say things to you that just pick you right up. It happens to me here all the time. And that's what I wanted to say about that, because we know it's true that whatever we say out of our mouth, it's going to go into the atmosphere and it's going to produce something. Now, you choose, is it going to be good or is it going to be bad? Okay, now let me read you my Vine's Expository Dictionary. Can't even think of the word. What this word means. Prophecy is the declaration of that which cannot be known by natural means. It is the foretelling of the will of God, whether with reference to the past, the present, or the future. I'm going to just set these aside. Now that's prophecy. But to exhort in the vines also is to advise, to exhort, to warn. And I want to read to you from Acts chapter 27, 9 and 10, 30 and 31. You find it here. About midnight on the 14th night of the storm, and this is Paul talking, as we were being driven to and fro on the Adriatic Sea, the sailors suspected that the land was near. They sounded and found 120 feet of water below them. A little later, they sounded again and found only 90 feet. At this rate, they knew they would soon be driven ashore, and fearing the rocks along the coast, they threw out four anchors from the stern and prayed for daylight. Now, it was just a storm going on, so they were kind of getting in some fear. And some of the sailors planned to abandon the ship and lowered the emergency boat as though they were going to put out anchors from the prow. But Paul said to the soldiers and commanding officer, "You will all die unless everyone stays aboard." So the soldiers cut the ropes and let the boat just fall off. So Paul was prophesying, but he was using prophecy to give people a warning. And it goes on to say, let's see, I'm going to keep myself here going. Okay. I'm going to paraphrase the rest of it. So the night went on, and they had to start lightening the ship. And Paul told them again, the commanding officer didn't want to listen to him. In fact, the soldiers wanted to advise the officer to kill all the prisoners, lest any of them to swim ashore and escape. But Julius, the commanding officer, wanted to spare Paul, so he told them no. And he ordered all who could swim to jump overboard and make for land, and the rest to try for it on planks and debris from the broken ship. I think some of them couldn't swim. And Paul had already told them if they would follow through, they would be saved. So everyone escaped safely to shore. So if they didn't listen to anything Paul said and they went on and got in that little boat, they would have died. So that was a prophetic warning that saved lives. Amen? Okay. So now, when God is always cheering us on, He wants us to be in victory, He wants us overcoming, and He wants us to become more than conquerors, overcoming and a living above our circumstances. Now, I didn't say living above our means. If we live above our means, Carlos taught us some stuff on that, we'll get ourselves in trouble. But living above our circumstances is what God wants us to do, and not be under them, but over them. And our plan to affect, we need to plan to affect our circumstances, and we don't need to be affected by them. So, and I got 1,000 sheets of paper, so just bear with me, y'all. And I'm kind of nervous tonight. I haven't done this in a while. So, now let me go to 1 Corinthians 12, 1 through 13. I know it's a little much, but we need to hear it. I do, anyway. Okay. And now, dear friends, I want to talk to you about the special abilities the Holy Spirit gives to each of you. For there have been a lot of confusion about this. Before you became Christians, you went around from one idol to another who couldn't speak a single word. But now you're listening to people in the church who claim to be speaking messages from the Spirit of God. How can you know whether they really are? Here is the test. No one speaking by the power of the Spirit of God can curse Jesus. So if you're born again, you're not going to curse Jesus anyway. And then it goes on to say, and no one can say Jesus is Lord and really mean it unless he is under the influence of the Holy Spirit. And also, there's another scripture, I think I still have it in these notes, that says, to testify of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And that's what we're focused on tonight, is prophecy. God gives his people many kinds of abilities, but the Holy Spirit is the source of them all. There are different ways of serving God, but it is the same Lord we are serving. God works through different people in different ways, but it's the same God who does the work. The Spirit manifests himself through each person for the good of the entire church. Now I'm just going to bring up the praise team. Everybody has their part. They're either playing an instrument or they're singing in their way of singing, but it's all done together, which makes us a whole. If one is out, and sometimes they are, you can tell the difference. I mean, I really can, and I think most everybody can. So it's good when we're all working together to do what we are called to do. So God works through different people in different ways. He gives a word of special wisdom to some and of supernatural knowledge to others. He gives the gift of extraordinary faith to some and to others the power to heal the sick or to do other wonderful miracles. To some, he gives the ability to prophesy, and to others, the ability to distinguish between spirits. Some can speak in different kinds of tongues, and others are given to the ability to interpret what was said. It is the same Holy Spirit who gives all these wonderful gifts, and he decides which gifts each of us should have. Just as our bodies are composed of many parts, and all the parts are needed to form a complete body, so it is with Christ's body, the church. It, too, is composed of many parts. That's y'all. And we are the parts. All of us, Jews, Gentiles, slaves or free, have been baptized into one body in the same Spirit, and the one Holy Spirit has been poured out for all of us to drink. Now I want to read this. Romans 12, 4 through 5 from The Voice. And I won't tell you where it's found every time because I got some of this stuff off something called Bible Hub. And some of it's Bible Gateway. And I looked, and after I done put all this together, I couldn't find where it was. So I just knew where the scripture was. So Romans 12, 4 through 5 says, for in the same way that one body has so many different parts, each with different functions, we too, the many, are different parts that form one body in the anointed one. Each of us is joined with one another. And we, I love this, we become together what we could not be alone. Now, that's why we need to gather in the church. Because when we get together, we are more full and more able to yield, because everybody's brought their anointing in, their own anointing in their own special way, and it helps us to yield to the Lord, because the house becomes full with the glory of God. The more of us that show up, the more the glory, because his glory is on us. We don't get the glory. He gets it, but it's on us. Amen? Okay. Let's see. Now, y'all going to think this is crazy. I should do like Bonnie and just start chunking them over to the side. But I had to do this a little different so I wouldn't get all mixed up. 1 Corinthians 12 and 28 in The Voice says, God has appointed gifts in the assembly. And it says, first, emissaries. Well, I didn't know what emissaries were, so I looked it up, and it's apostles. So first is apostles, second prophets, third teachers, and then miracle workers, healers, and helpers. And it goes on to say administrators. We know who that is. Do you know what it says about administrators? I looked that up. Those who can get others to work together easily. Isn't that good? And then those who speak with various unknown languages. Okay, here I go again. I have to do it like this so I won't get all mixed up. In Revelation 19 and 10, John was there and an angel started speaking to him. And this is what John says. At this I fell at his feet to worship him, but he said to me, don't do that. I'm a fellow servant with you and with your brothers and sisters who hold to the testimony of Jesus. Worship God. Here it is. For it is the spirit of prophecy who bears testimony to Jesus. So when you're testifying about Jesus, there is a spirit of prophecy working. I'm not a prophet. You may not be a prophet, but you can prophesy. Okay? Let me get myself not mixed up here. Hold on, y'all. I lost that one sheet. Glory to God. Okay, I'm just going to go with it right here. Okay, now the main reason for the gift of prophecy was instruction and encouragement of the church. In Matthew 12 and 24, whatever is in your heart will determine what you will say. So there we go back to Proverbs 18, 21. Again, you have the power. So whatever's in your heart, that's what's going to come out. You know, if you focus on the Lord a lot and read a lot of his word, you'll find yourself speaking more in line with what he says. If you leave it off for a long time, you just won't do it. I mean, I can't say you wouldn't ever say something or something come to your remembrance, but when you focus on God and study, you'll be more apt to line your mouth up with his words. Okay. The words leave your mouth and they go into the atmosphere and they produce something. So what are we producing? Romans 12 and 6, and let's see where this one's from. Okay, we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. 1 Corinthians 13:9. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. You know, sometimes when maybe you're in the church service, I know I have been or others have been, and you kind of feel like, you know, maybe there comes a little hush. Maybe music's playing and there's a little hush and you just feel like you're not supposed to stop worshiping yet. And you start thinking of maybe you got this little word that comes to your mind. You think it's in your mind, but it's really from your spirit, if it's God, okay? And, well, the one thing you can be sure about to measure that, if it lines up with the word, it won't be like you're just throwing something out there. And if you're trying to learn about these different gifts and you get that word, the best way to do it, if there is, let's see, if you have the liberty to do it, okay? Not just all, you know, out of the blue and just crazy stuff, but there is a time. We know when someone speaks in tongues, there should be, everybody should all of a sudden just be, when there's a word given, let me say it like that, when a word comes in tongues, because most of the time, if you're born again and you're filled with the Spirit, you're going to know that that's that time. And then everybody should be just quiet unless you get the interpretation. So you shouldn't be moving around and talking and doing anything else. Right then we should really reverence the Lord because he's trying to say something. So if you're that person and you think, well, maybe I should say God is wanting to build us up, but I'm too scared to do it and I just hold back. But if I'll step out and I say, well, God is wanting to build us up, then if I just be quiet for a minute, he may give me something else because I stepped out in faith, okay? And if you're not used to doing it, that's why you're going to have to do it in the first place anyway. You're not going to just automatically, you might say, well, I know, but you'll have questions. So you're going to have to step out in faith sometimes. Now, let me qualify this. Sunday morning when we get up here, I don't want 15 people. Pastor doesn't want 15 people stepping out on faith and just saying all kinds of stuff. We need to try our best to be led by the Spirit. But don't hold back if you really feel like God's wanting to say something. Because this is what he says in 1 Corinthians 14 and 5. I would like every one of you to speak in tongues, but I would rather have you prophesy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless someone interprets so that the church may be edified. And like, I think I left this off. When you do step out, make sure what you're saying lines up with the Word of God, okay? 1 Corinthians 14:24, but if an unbeliever or an inquirer comes in while everyone is prophesying, they are convicted of sin and are brought under judgment by all. So prophesying can stir up the heart of people to cause them to want to get saved. They come under conviction. 1 Corinthians 14:31, for you can all prophesy in turn so that everyone may be instructed and encouraged. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, and I'm not afraid to be corrected. I think when we start having words of wisdom or knowledge come forth, that one person will say something and then there may be another one. But isn't it true that two or three, and once you hit that number, that's it, you know. Okay, so that way there's not a lot of confusion, because God's not in confusion. 1 Corinthians 14:39. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, that's what I'm going to point out to you, that not just men, women too, and this is from the Bible. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, be eager to prophesy and do not forbid speaking in tongues. Now, I know that most of the time on Sunday morning, Pastor Sharon will speak a blessing over us. Well, she's prophesying over us. She's speaking what the Word says over us, and it's always going to line up with what the Word says, because the Bible's always talking about blessing. We should be going around blessing people, and that's what she does most every Sunday for us. So she's just right in line with prophecy and exhortation. Okay, 2 Chronicles 15:8, and I'm trying to decide if I want to read that whole thing. Let me see. Okay, I better read it or it won't make sense. Give me just a minute to flip over there. I thought I had all of them marked, but I guess I didn't. 2 Chronicles 15. I know Chronicles is here somewhere. There it is. 15:1-8. Oh, sorry, I'm in 1 Chronicles. Knew it didn't look right. Okay. Then the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, son of Oded, and he went out to meet King Asa as he was returning from the battle. Listen to me, Asa. Now, Azariah was prophesying. Listen to me, Asa. Listen, armies of Judah and Benjamin, he shouted. The Lord will stay with you as long as you stay with him. Whenever you look for him, you'll find him. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. For a long time now over in Israel, the people haven't worshipped the true God and have not had a true priest to teach them. They have lived without God's laws, but whenever they've turned again to the Lord of God of Israel in their distress and searched for them, he has always helped them. In their times of rebellion against God, there was no peace. Okay, we like peace, don't we? Problems troubled the nation on every hand. Crime was on the increase everywhere. There were external wars and internal fighting of city against city, for God was plaguing them with all sorts of trouble. But you men of Judah, keep up the good work and don't get discouraged, for you will be rewarded. When King Asa heard this message from God, he took courage and destroyed all the idols in the land of Judah and Benjamin, and in the cities he had captured in the hill country of Ephraim. And he rebuilt the altar of the Lord in front of the temple. Okay? Azariah encouraged him and gave him a word. And he took that, and because he took that word, he was able to go and do God's work and destroy those idols. Sometimes when God gives us a good word, it prompts us to do more for the Lord, or it prompts us to straighten something out that we have messed up or somebody else we know have messed up. We, like Deborah used to say, I can't fix you, but I can sure pray for you, and I can encourage you. Okay. Ephesians 4:11, and Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers. Okay. 1 Corinthians 14:22. Tongues then, this is something to listen to. Tongues are a sign that are not for believers, but for unbelievers. Prophecy, however, is not for unbelievers, but for believers. That's 1 Corinthians 14:22. And I'm not going to have time. I can't see the clock now. Okay. 2 Peter 1:20. Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation of things. So God gave it. Anything. If you want to learn more about prophecy or you want to know what prophecy is, here it is. This is prophecy. All fulfilled through whatever prophet, you know, wrote it down. But they didn't do it on their own thinking. They were led by the Spirit. God spoke to them, I guess, because of what Holy Spirit wasn't infilled in them at that point. Revelations 1:3. Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy. Okay, and that's talking about the word. Okay, let me see. I'm just going to skip through and try to get the main points. 2 Peter 1:19. We also have the prophetic message as something completely reliable, and you'll do well to pay attention to it as to a light shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your heart. Now let's say you you got invited to a relative's house and you were going to stay overnight because you were from out of town and you hadn't seen them in a while, so you go to their house, but their power goes out and you've got to get up and go get a drink of water or something. Well, if you haven't been in their house in a long time, you're probably not going to remember how to get to the kitchen or around like you should, and you're going to need some light. Well, this light that it's talking about here is what we need to live, and or we'll be stumbling around. What's that old saying, lead them into the ditch? Following one and get led into the ditch. Okay, Exodus 15:20, from the voice. The prophetess Miriam picked up a tambourine, and all the women followed her with tambourines and joyful dancing. Now, most of you know when this happened. This is after they come out of the land of Egypt and crossed the Red Sea on dry land. And she started praising the Lord from her heart, and everybody started following her and dancing and praising. So that was an example of a woman prophetess. Deborah in Judges 4:4 was a prophetess, also a judge. Huldah, I don't know if I'm pronouncing her name right, Shalom's wife, was a true prophetess. Here's one, Nodiah was a false prophetess. There were others. Anna of Luke 2:36-38, I'm not going to read them. And Jezebel was a false prophet. Anna was not a false prophet. Jezebel was. In 2 Peter, let me just check the time. Okay. 2 Peter 2:1 in the International Children's Bible. Now, y'all listen to this. I'm going to read about four of these same scriptures, same 2 Peter 2:1, but some of them just blew my mind away. There used to be false prophets among God's people, just as there are now. And you will have some false teachers in your group. I don't think we have any here. They will secretly, in fact, I know, don't let me rephrase that. They will secretly teach things that are wrong, teachings that will cause people to be lost. They will even refuse to accept Jesus, who brought their freedom. And so they will quickly destroy themselves. Now listen to this one. I think this is the one that really caught my attention. In the past, there were false prophets. This is from the Easy to Read version. It is the same now. You will have some false teachers in the groups. They will teach things that are wrong, ideas that will cause people to be lost. Listen to this. And they will teach in a way that it will be hard for you to see that they are wrong. This is what the Bible says. They will even refuse to follow the master and quickly destroy themselves. 2 Peter 2:1 through 3, there were also lying prophets among the people, just as there will be lying religious teachers among us. Now, that doesn't mean we got lying teachers and prophets in here, but that means we're gonna come in contact with somebody. I have done that. I have been around some nuts before. Pastor, you say nuts, flakes, and granola? Is that what he said? I have been around a few. And actually, there have been some in here before. They weren't regular people. So don't try to figure them out. It's been a long time. But they just, they were off in the deep end somewhere. Okay. They gave the way of truth a bad name. They're only out for themselves. They'll say anything that sounds good to exploit you. They won't, of course, get away with it. God's going to hold them accountable. They'll come to a bad end. But they'll smuggle in divisions and pit you against one another. I've seen that. We had a sweet lady that came here, and she wasn't doing anything wrong. She was trying to have God in her and learn. But she had two sons, and they were always being pitted against each other. You can always exhort someone and encourage them, but make sure what you say is real. Don't just make something up because you want to say something. And like I've told Carla before, how good she looks, and most everybody in here, I've said that at one time or another, but I don't say it because I think you're going to do something for me if I say it. That is wrong. And it's just a lie. If I tell you that you look so good today, and in the back of my head I'm thinking, what are they going to do for me now? Then I'm flattering, and the Bible talks against that. So we don't flatter. We use the word to encourage people. And I'll tell you, I have a gift in this. I can always look at somebody, and this is true, and find something good to say to them, to lift them up. It's easy to do. That is not a hard thing. So that's something all of us can do. If I can do it, you can do it. Isaiah 44:25 from the Jubilee Bible. This is what God does. He undoes the signs of the fortune tellers and makes the diviners mad and turns the wise men backwards and makes their wisdom fade away. King James Version, who frustrates the signs of the babblers and drives them mad, who turns wise men backward and makes their knowledge foolishness. And this is what he says in Isaiah 44:25. I confound the lying swindlers who claim to tell the future. I make the fortune tellers look like fools. I stop the highbrow intellectuals in their tracks, and I show the fault of their reasoning. Now I'm going to leave that there with that. Let's see. I'm going to paraphrase this because I wanted to read it, but it's getting late. So let me just... Nehemiah was leading people to rebuild the wall, but Sanballat and some of the other adversaries were trying to bring fear on them so they would quit rebuilding this wall. And so Sanballat sent some of them to him and said... Let me get it straight here because I don't want to read it all. He said, it's not safe here. Let us leave and go into God's house inside the temple and shut the doors. People are coming to kill you. They will come all at night. And Nehemiah said, well, why would a man in my position run for his life? Why would a person like me use the temple to save his life when such contact with God would surely kill me? In other words, he wasn't going to run in the temple when he wasn't supposed to. I refuse to go into the temple under such circumstances. Listen to this, y'all. I love it. 12 and 13. While I was speaking these words to Shemaiah, I realized God had not sent him. God would never tell me to break his laws. Shemaiah's prophecy was inspired by the money of Tobiah and Sanballat. After hearing this message, they thought I would be scared and thus vulnerable to sin. They hoped that such a lapse when behavior would discredit me. So even while he was saying those words to them, God made him realize, he got it, that they didn't even send them. I just don't have time to finish. I'm going to stop with that and tell you something Pastor wanted me to tell you. He wanted me to tell you how I choose music. Well, I wish he'd tell me how I choose it. Okay. Sometimes I wake up in the morning, it may be the day of, like a Sunday morning or a Wednesday, or it may be a few days before, I'll hear a song in my spirit. And then when I go to put the music together, I'll have that song on my mind, and I'll look at it, and then I'll see, well, usually we do two songs on Wednesday and three on Sunday. I try to see if I can find something that kind of flows with that song. Sometimes I kick it out. I don't say that it was God. I just had that in my spirit because we've been singing it or something. But that's one of the ways I do that. And other ways, I lay out, I may pick 10 songs out and just lay them out and look at them. And I'll say, that might be good. This will go with that. And honestly, that's all I do. And I ask the Lord to help me, you know, to pick them out. And I'm just like you. I don't have this special thing that helps me do all that. I do have the anointing, and that helps me. But sometimes I picked out some songs before, and they just did not go too good. But I try to pick out stuff that I feel like the Lord would have us sing. Especially if we hadn't sang something in a while and it's just really on my heart, I'll pick it out. And that's kind of how I do that. But I wanted to say this. Like I told you at first, you're just as important to the Lord and to this church as I am. Pastor asked me to do things, I try to do them. And that's what we're called to do, because he's going to be led by the Spirit to ask us in the first place. He's not just going to throw something out there. I mean, he might say, well, would you pick this up and make sure this letter gets mailed for me? Something simple like that. But in everything we do that a pastor asked us, he's over us and God's over him. So when we do what he asked us, it's like obeying God. And he's not going to tell you that. He's not going to say you're obeying God if you obey me. He's just going to ask you to do something, and then it's up to us to do it. But we have a choice to make, and we can do what we're asked. And, I mean, if he asked me to do certain things that I just didn't feel like I could do, I would tell him. And most of the time when he asks me to do something, I don't think I can, but I do it because he asked me to, and then God always helps me. So I don't have a lot of confidence in some things, and my confidence is not in me, it's in God. So that's what you need to remember for yourself when you get nervous or something. I walked up here tonight very nervous, but my confidence was not in me. I was kind of fearful, but I said, okay, God, you know, you got to help me. And that's how I do everything I do, even when I go to work at a place. You got to help me, God. Please help me, God. So I don't know if I did anything, said anything that helped you, but remember, you can prophesy according to the word, and ask God to help you know when to say something. And when you look and see somebody, sometimes Chrissy can tell sometimes when somebody's physically having an ailment. That's not just Chrissy looked and saw a certain frown on their face and knew they was hurting. It was Chrissy being led by the Spirit to notice this person so she could pray for him. And I tell you the truth, she's prayed for me before, and I didn't have to tell her where something was hurting, and she'd point it right out. That's God. So God can use all of us if we're just willing. And that's all I have.
We thank you for listening to today's program. We believe that Jesus died for our sins and that he has sanctified us for eternity. We desire that all come to the knowledge of him as their personal Savior. If you have accepted Jesus as Savior through this broadcast, or if you wish more information, we would love to hear from you. Contact us at Oasis Christian Center, Post Office Box 246, Smith Station, Alabama 3-6-8-7-7, phone 334-520-7538, or email at oasischristiancenter@ctvea.net. You can visit our website at oasisfamilychurch.net. For those of you on Facebook, we do have Facebook Live every Wednesday and Sunday, Wednesday night, 7 p.m., and on Sunday at 10:30. You may reach us by Oasis Christian Center, a family church, Smith Station, Alabama. We'd also like to give you the opportunity to sow a seed into the ministry. You may text to give at 334-274-7885. Online giving, acionlinegiving.com/4832. Or you may mail to Post Office Box 246, Smith Station, Alabama, 36877. Until next time, God bless you, and Jesus is Lord.